This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's a podcast from Morning Glory on Joy 94.9.
This is Todrick. How are you?
Hi, Todrick. How are you going?
I'm fantastic.
I mean, don't shut
up. Thank you all for having me on the show.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So you're chatting with Maddie, Gabe and Ben from Morning Glory.
Well, I'm really excited to be on the show and I'm really, really excited to come back to Australia. I love it there so much.
How many years have you been coming back to Australia for?
Well, last year was my first time ever performing there. I used to date someone who lived in Sydney, so I'd been to Sydney and to Brisbane once before. But last year, I have to say, I was blown away. The show was sold out before we ever got there in all of the cities that we went to. It was just really, really cool. You know, I come from a very wealthy family, and so going to Australia just seemed like a not realistic concept for me my whole life growing up. But to get to go there and to get to perform for a sold-out audience, their energy was so amazing. They knew every lyric to every song. And I have very wordy songs with a lot of lyrics. So it was just really, really cool and just, you know, like an experience I will never forget. And I'm really, really, really excited to come back again with my crew, with a new show that has such an important and poignant meaning right now. I'm just really, really excited to be back there. I can't wait.
That's good. And I mean, all the good stuff comes straight out of Oz. So you can come to Melbourne and maybe pick up your next boyfriend.
I hope so. Listen, I'm single, ready to mingle and on the prowl. So I hope that happens.
Well, I was going to say, Maddie's currently taken, but I'm actually single. Todrick.
Well, good to know.
But Todrick, I'm going to move to
my DMs.
I'm going to be moving to America, and I was saying earlier today that you and I would just be besties. We're pretty much the same person. I mean, you've got 3 million viewers or whatever on your YouTube. I've got 3. We're both okay. Currently on radio. So, you know, I well, I love Kinky Boots. You were Lola. We're the same. It's the same person.
Same.
If our Beyonce is ever not available, you could also always hang out with Maddie.
Listen, I think I'd want to hang out with Maddie even if Beyonce were available because he's hilarious from what I can tell so far.
So, Todrick, you are coming back to Australia with your whole American The Forbidden Tour. What is the show all about?
It's a live stage version of my new visual album, Forbidden, and it is basically, I like to describe it as a perfect hybrid between a musical and a live concert. It definitely tells a story and does all of the songs live on stage, but it has that feeling and vibe that you want to get up and dance and, you know, like turn up with us. And so it's just a fun time. And I think it's such an important message. And if people haven't seen it yet, they can watch it for free on my YouTube channel. And the album is available to download on iTunes.
So what will people expect coming to see it?
I mean, they can expect a lot of costumes, a lot of dancing and choreography, lights, the whole shebang. I'm a showman. I love to perform and have the theatrical aspect. I'm a Broadway kid, but I also love to write pop music. There are 30 songs on the album, and we perform almost all of them live on stage with a special encore at the end for anybody who's a fan of Straight Outta Oz or some of my previous viral videos on YouTube. We do a big encore at the end that highlights some of those videos as well.
That is so good. I was just having a little reminisce today because, yeah, I get a little bit excited when I think about you and your stuff. And I was watching Provincial Town clip that you did with some of
Beauty
the
and the Beat.
Yeah, it's so good. But actually, my favorite, and I'm sort of going off topic a little bit, is your Mary Poppin' Pills.
Oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that video in a very long time. That was a very fun day for me.
Oh, it's a very fun day for me every time I watch it. It's so great.
It's hilarious.
Thank you.
I mean, you get millions and millions and millions of YouTube watchers for all of your videos. Do you still get amazed by that, by just how many people are paying attention to you?
It's honestly shocking to me. Like, I never really understood it. And I think sometimes I have to take a moment and say, like, to myself, wow, this equates to real people. These are real, you know, living, breathing creatures that are watching these videos, because it's very easy to see likes on your Instagram or views on your videos and not remember that those are people behind there watching your videos and spending their time to, like, devote their time and energy to learn your music and to subscribe to your channel and to buy tickets to your show. Every time I step on stage, every single time, and every time I do a meet and greet, I'm very cautious and aware of the fact that each and every one of these people have chosen to spend sometimes their very limited funds to spend them on me to have a good night and entertain them. And I try to leave 150% of my energy and my being and my talent on the stage every single night, as I do on Broadway. It's very important for me. And like I said, I come from a small town, so I'm always so grateful. It was always my goal and dream to be on Broadway. And the fact that I've gotten to now do 5 Broadway musicals, it's just really, really awesome to me. Every day I feel like I'm like living a dream, and I don't take it for granted that it could be gone at any moment. So I'm excited, and I'm going to go and perform in Australia like it's my last time to ever visit Australia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And how did it feel just flipping back to step into the Kinky Boots after Billy Porter as Lola? I mean, I loved the show and I loved Billy Porter, but then you came along and stunning.
It was really, really awesome. Billy Porter is a close friend of mine, and I've been a huge supporter of his my entire life. And like, I remember growing up in middle school and high school listening to his rendition of Grease and hearing his story of how he got cast as a teen angel on Broadway and how he went in, even though it was unconventional at the time, and they weren't looking for an African American gospel singer, but he made them change their mind about what they were thinking about with the role. And I just think that is what I've done with YouTube and with my entire career, just, you know, busted through doors that weren't supposed to be opened by me and made a way for myself. And I love that he's such a trailblazer, and I love that he won that award for that show, winning the Tony. And that role felt like it was written for me. Like, I've had so many experiences that are similar to Lola and Simon, and every day when I would walk into the workshop and have to see all these people, it would remind me of being like an awkward gay boy moving into a new city every year because my dad was a basketball coach, and having to try to like fake my way into sitting at a table with a bunch of straight guys and pretending that I like girls to be able to fit in when that was not my story, that was not my truth, and that wasn't the case for me. And so that story just hit home a lot for me. It felt like it was written for me, and it ironically opened on Broadway on my birthday. This year on April 4th, it celebrated 5 years, and to get to follow in Billy Porter's heels was just like, you know, the goals. Like I said, it still seems like I have to look at pictures to remind myself that it actually happened and that it wasn't just a dream.
Yeah, and I mean, it was stunning. I've seen some of the pictures and things on Instagram and heard some of your songs, but from there to go on to Memphis and also being in The Color Purple with Fantasia Barrino, you've done it all. I mean, YouTube, rocking it with RuPaul, your choreography, doing all of those things. What's next for you? I mean, you're just 30-ish. I think you're 30. Where do you go from here?
I have like a very eclectic career, and I love that I get hired to do jobs where I'm choreographing or writing music for commercials for Sesame Street or for Fiat or for the Virgin America, and doing Broadway, doing television shows. I want to EGOT eventually. That's my goal. I want to create shows. And EGOT is Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. I want to write a bunch of musicals. I just want to be performing and doing things that I love. I would love to do a feature film. I would love to do one of these live shows that they're doing on Fox and on NBC here in America, where they do, you know, Hairspray Live or
Yes.
Grease Live. That's my goal. But honestly, I wake up every single day, and like this is like the line that Whoopi Goldberg says in Sister Act 2 to Lauryn Hill. She says, "What do you think of every day when you wake up in the morning? Because whatever that is, that's what you're supposed to be doing." And every morning I wake up and I know exactly like what I'm supposed to be doing, and that is performing and singing and dancing and choreographing and creating and being an artist. And as long as I'm doing that, I'm going to always be happy. I want to go back to Broadway. I want to keep creating music, and whatever I'm inspired to do after this is what I'm going to do. But I have no plans right now on purpose, and I'm just excited to like finish this world tour and sit back and relax and hopefully be a part of the next seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race and just figure out what the universe has in store for me next.
So speaking of Drag Race, we can't let you go without asking you about it. After 10 seasons,
okay,
the show is still breaking into new audiences and gaining more popularity. What does it mean for you to do a show that's become so important for the LGBT community?
It's the thing that I'm the most proud of, that I'm a part of that show. I was there the other day when RuPaul was given her star on Hollywood Boulevard, and what that meant to me is not only a part of the LGBTQ community, but as a gay black man, to watch another like iconic gay black man receive a star, it was just, to me, like I kept getting chills because it was something I always wished growing up, that I had somebody to watch on television that looked like me or sounded like me, and I didn't have anybody. And so I just had to like try to find something that looked close to me, and I would watch That's So Raven every day. But I had no idea at that time that Raven was part of, was all, played for our team, you know. And it would have been so nice to have known that at a very young age. But I don't think the world was ready for it, but I do think they're ready for it now. And RuPaul's Drag Race has proven that. There are no exceptions being made. The ratings are real. The numbers don't lie. People are loving it. And now people have no choice but to recognize, with things like Black Panther coming out and with things like Moonlight coming out and things like Love, Simon, and things like movies like Call Me By Your Name. These movies are like letting people know that we are queer, and we're here to snatch trophies. We're here to break boundaries, to set new rules, and to let people know that these are not just gay stories. These are stories that everybody loves and that everybody can identify with. It's not just gay people that are making these ratings for RuPaul's Drag Race and making it one of the hottest new shows on television. It's everyone is watching it. Everybody is falling in love with these people and these characters, and it's changing the game. And I love that RuPaul is the person spearheading it and trailblazing it, and I hope that I can continue to carry a even smaller version of that torch and continue to like break boundaries myself and to set new rules and to change the way the world views our community.
Look, we got to get the inside goss off you. Drag Race season 10, who's your pick?
My pick would have probably been Miss Vanjie. I fell in love with her in the first episode. I just love her so much. I'm on the finale episode, so I know who makes it to the end, and I can't say anything, but all I can say is that it is a great season, and I fell in love with almost every single one of those girls. They're really, really super talented, and people have got a really, really great season in store.
No, it is fantastic, but don't worry about season 10. I want to know from you, was the crown stolen? All-Stars season 3, Shangela should have won, right?
You're on... I don't know that it was stolen. I felt really bad that was the situation, because Shangela had worked really, really hard to be there. And I was a little bit upset when I heard the deliberations happening and people were saying, who needs the crown? Some people don't need it. I think everybody who was there deserved the fair chance to win the crown. I was a little bit disappointed in it, but it made for great TV. And I think people know that Shangela deserved to be in the top. But also, Trixie is such an amazing artist and has proven like what she can do and who she is in so many ways. So I'm happy that Trixie won. I think she's awesome. And she's so smart and so clever and so witty and so good at this game that is, you know, being a famous drag queen and turning it into something, you know, more than that. You know, she has like a record-breaking album and she's singing country music and playing instruments. And it's just really, really cool what she's doing. It made me sad to see that Shangela didn't get to go up and perform, but I also just like love Kennedy and love Trixie. And so I was, I'm just happy that that those four people made it to the top and were able to show the world what they can do. And now, as we've seen with Adore Delano and some of the other people who have not won the show, they have become massively successful and are selling out shows. So I'm just hoping that Shangela is able to do that, which I 150,000,000% think that she will, because we've seen how much she's gotten her name out and how she's had a more successful career than a lot of Drag Race alumni, with only making it, you know, not even halfway through the season when she was on, you know, both times. So
yeah, I went back and watched, and goodness gracious, the season 2 when she sort of popped in, I was like, oh, this baby drag is, I mean, I don't have any drag qualifications whatsoever, so I'm talking well out of my backside. Just seeing that transition from, you know, season 2 to jumping out of the box in season 3 and then coming through to All Stars, she's great.
Yeah, she is. I'm so proud of her. And it just goes to show, like I said, that with hard work, you can make anything happen. Like, nobody is behind her helping her. It's obvious and clear that she has done the work. She's put in the time, and that's the only way you can grow that much. And the fact that the world has been able to see her go from the little baby Shangela to blossom into the person that she is today on the finale of one of the biggest seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race ever, it's just, I mean, they're all winners. I know that sounds like such a cheesy thing to say, but it's just the truth.
You've worked with some of the most incredible people across the entertainment industry. Who is your idol, or who is your number one pick? Who's the most professional? Who was the diva on set? I want to know it all. Who do you love?
Is Joan Rivers in you right now?
I've never actually worked with somebody who was a diva. I have seen a couple of divas on the red carpet, but I've never actually worked with one. I loved working with Beyonce, obviously. I like learned so much from her, the way that she treated her staff, the way that she treated her crew. Working with RuPaul, honestly, is also amazing. I think if you meet somebody who has the same team around them for 30 plus years, then you know that you know, that they are the real deal. So obviously working with my friend Taylor, you know, like she's really, really awesome. And the way she treats her team is just amazing.
Just back on RuPaul and the 30 years and being so strong, you know that behind every great man or woman is a great Australian.
I've never heard crickets. That term before, but I believe it. 100%.
No, well, that's it's not a saying so much as RuPaul's partner is an Aussie.
He's Australian.
Oh, I didn't realize that George was Australian. Now, you know, after going on so many cruise ships and touring and like meeting so many people, sometimes I hear accents and I don't even remember or recognize where the people are from.
I have to say, I'm a really big fan of the show Chicago, which you did recently. I have to say, I feel like I could, if I had the choice, I would just do the Chicago review every day of my life, like to work, going to the shops. What's Chicago like doing as a show? Because it's my absolute all-time favorite.
It was so amazing. That's one of my favorite Broadway shows of all time. I watched the movie first before I ever was really familiar with the show. And to be able to, you know, follow in the footsteps of, you know, like people who are just phenomenal actors, the Tony Award winning role again. And for me to get to play Billy Flynn on Broadway, which was such a drastically different role from playing Lolo on Broadway, was just really like a dream come true. I couldn't believe when I got the phone call that I was going to get to play that role. And I was mortified to play it because I didn't want to like ruin such an iconic, legendary, like staple Broadway role. I, you know, talked to my best friend on the phone and she encouraged me to just like make the role my own. And I think that's what I did. And I had a blast. We broke records. We sold more tickets than they had ever sold with Chicago, but we broke the records for the Ambassador Theater, which was really cool that my fans were, you know, like so supportive and like showed up in drones to come and support the musical. And I just really, really appreciated it. And it was blown away by the love and support. And I had such a good time with the cast and to get to learn and Fosse choreography from people who were trained by Bob Fosse, or, you know, like it was just insane. If you want to be in a Broadway show, that's the Broadway show you want to be in, you know?
Yeah, awesome. I have to perhaps maybe if we ever get you in the studio someday, which would be amazing, perhaps you could show me some moves. You like maybe I could be like Roxy or something. You could show me how to be Roxy or Velma.
I would love that. I would love that. It's a date.
If you need a real challenge, teach it to me. You'd be struggling.
I would love that. That's hilarious.
Hey, Jodrick, you're actually in Melbourne on Wednesday the 13th of June for your show at the Comedy Theatre. We're the newest brekkie team here called Morning Glory, and we get you up and keep you up on a Wednesday morning. So I do believe that that you can make a little visit.
I would love that. It's a date. I'm so down. I would totally come there, and I would love to kick it with you guys and talk to you and hang out in the studio.
Amazing. This has been recorded, so you can't say no yet. You can't say no now.
Listen, recorded. Use it as blackmail material. Totally fine. I'm totally there. I think it'd be so much fun.
We have absolutely loved talking to you, and we have to say a really big thank you for giving your time.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for having me, and thanks for the support, and thanks for being a radio station. And this time I've heard that this is the only LGBTQ radio station in the area, and I think it's really, really awesome what y'all are doing. We need more people doing what you're doing, and thank you for committing your time to our community, because I appreciate it. Even though I'm not there to be able to hear your show every day, I appreciate what you guys are doing for the community. It's really amazing.
Todrick, you can podcast it. You can download the app.
I feel like you're flirting with me a lot.
Oh my goodness.
I'm into it.
Todrick, we can't wait to see your world tour. Todrick Hall American, The Forbidden Tour in Australia and New Zealand in June 2018. We can't wait to meet you. Have a really great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.